Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Now, on SportsCenter at 6, the worst it's ever been. Why LeBron James thinks this is the most challenging season of his career. Tom Brady did not practice today, but it may not matter. The blueprint to beat the Patriots is in Doug Marrone's hands, and you won't believe who gave it to him. Plus, Marvel's Black Panther star, Michael B. Jordan, live in this hour.
I would have kicked this, but somebody held me back.
Here's Michael Smith and Jamel Hill.
You know what? I say it's been a cool couple of days for us. We got to meet Chadwick Boseman the other night in L.A. Today, we get to chop it up with Michael B. Jordan about Black Panther. I'll take it. Plus, it was Nacho Day in the cast. On top of that, Mel's first mock draft has all sorts of interesting projections to dissect. I think this might have a chance to be a decent show. Tom Brady, pretty decent QB, getting ready to start only his 12th AFC title game. And considering he hasn't missed a game due to injury since 2008, just throwing it out there, guessing there's a fairly decent chance he plays Sunday despite the throwing hand injury that limited him in practice Wednesday and prevented him from practicing today, according to the team report. Brady, however, was present for warmups, as you see there on Thursday, wearing gloves on both hands. Let's throw it to Diana Rossini in Foxborough. So, Diana, while Doug Marrone is probably correct that Brady could be effective throwing left-handed, that won't be necessary, will it?
Well, the reality is, the feeling here is that Brady will start on Sunday in the AFC Championship game. But today, it's Thursday. We're 4 days out. He didn't take one single snap. He was out on the field, which is encouraging because the team was concerned about some swelling with that hand. So instead of being in the treatment room, he was out on the field. And what we did notice, as you mentioned, were those gloves. Now, the guy now taking those first team reps, good old Brian Hoyer, who you remember joined the team after the Patriots traded away Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, the players were, or at least the quarterbacks, they had the gloves on. It's something we've never seen Tom Brady do. In fact, a few weeks ago, Michael, we asked him about it, and he said when he was younger, he wore gloves, but he doesn't like to do it anymore because he's uncomfortable. But there he was out there today wearing the gloves, as was Hoyer. So I asked the now starter about it.
Yeah, that's how I started. I mean, I never had done it before. And then when I got up here, he always said, you know, when it gets cold and dry out, it's nice to have a little extra tack. So I've experimented with putting on the throwing hand too. And it's just a matter of feel, how you feel with it. And, you know, it's always good to practice with it in case you might need it. You never know what the weather's going to be.
And did Brady seem comfortable you were working with him today? How
yeah.
was he feeling?
I mean, you have to ask him that.
That's pretty much how Hoyer answered all the questions about Brady. He didn't want to answer them. Jamel, Michael, just so you know, it's about 34 degrees. It's been much, much colder here in Foxborough when these guys probably should have been wearing gloves when they didn't. But really, the tone inside the locker room was there's no cause for concern. But guys, I was on a mission today because I still want to find out which teammate ran into Brady. And I was just going up to guys going, it was you, right? I know it was you. And every response was, no, it wasn't me. It was like a bunch of Shaggy out there like, nope, it wasn't me. No, it wasn't me the whole time. So we still don't know who did it.
Diana Rossini on the case. Appreciate it. Nobody's copying you.
That's right. Yeah. Detective Rossini. Yeah. Teddy Bruschi, thanks for joining us. Sure. Look, you know how the Patriots do when it comes to injury reports. They play a little fast and loose. They're
Absolutely.
A little coy.
Yes.
But today is Thursday, and for Tom Brady not to practice, for the reports to be about him wearing gloves, is this something or nothing?
It could be something. It could be something. If it's a serious injury to where he feels like maybe he needs a glove for that grip if his thumb is sprained or if his finger is sprained, because, I mean, Tom Brady is an accurate passer, and he needs everything from his lower body all the way up to that finger that releases. I mean, accidents happen in practice. You know, you can hit a helmet on a handoff. He could sprain his thumb or finger handing off to a running back if he hits an elbow or something like that. There was one time, if I can tell you a story, it was when Drew Bledsoe was coming back after he had got knocked out by Mo Lewis. Tom Brady had become the new starter. Drew Bledsoe dropped back the pass. I jumped in front of Drew just to try to, like, make him feel the pressure, and he hit his finger on following through on my thigh, and it broke his finger on his index finger.
Ooh.
And so imagine how you feel if they already have the red jerseys and Drew's trying to get back to get his job, supposedly, yeah. You know, and it was a stressful time, and he broke his finger.
Was he mad at you?
He wasn't mad at me.
Okay.
No, but he came back to practice with a little brace on his finger, so it was... It's very dangerous for quarterbacks at times.
Yeah.
I don't think this is serious. I don't think Tom even would hit it on somebody's helmet. No one would ever get close like that. I'm assuming that it was a handoff. It was a handoff to a running back. He sprained a finger, sprained a thumb. He'll be okay.
You were always trained to know better than to predict that anybody would be less than 100%. You always went into a game expecting your opponent to be his best.
Right.
So if you're the Jaguars, does this even show up on your radar? Do you even wonder, allow yourself to wonder that Brady might not be 100%? Or do you go into it like Doug Marrone saying, if he threw left-handed, he'd probably be effective?
At first, I'd see if Tom was wearing gloves pregame. Mm-hmm. I'd see. I mean, that is a sign that a quarterback, if it's on your throwing hand, you obviously want more grip if you wear these specialized, very sticky gloves to help you get a grip on the ball. And then back in coverage, as he throws the ball, how's the velocity? Is it accurate? Is it accuracy? Is it affected? Is it even 6 inches of accuracy is the difference between a pass defense or an interception or a completed pass? So that type of difference can be noticeable to defenders if he doesn't have especially the same velocity on the ball.
And if you can get a shot on that hand, you're taking it, I'm sure.
How do you get a shot on a quarterback's hand?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, it's
down on the pile,
I mean, it's like, is he down on the pile?
Whatever
you step on him or something like that?
No, no.
Don't act like you're above it all.
Come on,
like,
stomp a cleat on him, something like that.
You know,
walk away, twist as you walk away, and then just...
Right.
No.
Of course not.
Never done that.
So still likely that Tom Brady suits up Sunday, but if he were not to play, Brian Hoyer, he would become the first Patriots player other than Brady to start a playoff game since the 1998 season. Patriots 26-9 in the playoffs, and Brady starts 6-9 in all other playoff games. In other words, he's good. Guessing most of you were already aware of that.
All right, moving to the NBA, where the All-Star starters will be named tonight. No doubt LeBron will be on the list and possibly a captain since he led the Eastern votes in the most recent return. With that assumption in mind, this next All-Star selection will be his 14th straight, which would be the tie for the second longest streak in NBA history. Only Kobe would be ahead of him. But even though LeBron seems to be better than ever, the challenge of winning it all gets harder, especially this season.
It's been very challenging, just from the simple fact of how many guys have been in and out. You know, this is a difficult, you know, year for our team. Seems like I say that every year, but this one has been much even more challenging. You know, with everybody that's been out and coming back in, and the rotations and things of that nature, has been very challenging on our team. But we have to figure it out. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, we have a game every other day or every 2 days, just like everybody else in the NBA, and we have to go out and play.
Dave McMiniman, you're fluent in LeBron. Why did he call this the most challenging season of his career?
Yeah, Jamel, it's only taken me a couple years to learn that language. But there's many reasons he could point to it. The Cavs are 1-6 against the top three teams in the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference combined. Also, this is the age of the point guard. And you look at the Cavs' starting point guard, Isaiah Thomas, he's missed 38 out of 43 games. Look at the Cavs' backup point guard, Derrick Rose, he's missed 36 out of 43 games. And then beyond that, while the Cavs have a ton of specialists who, when you play in a playoff situation and if guys are rested and you played half-court basketball, they can make an impact. When the glut of games in the regular season come after you, game after game, night after night, it's a little hard for this team to keep up. And so there's been no rhythm to the season thus far. They did have that little stretch in the middle where they won 18 out of 19. But beyond that, LeBron James has just been hoping for some solid footing to try to get this season turned in the right direction.
All right, now Cavs coach Ty Lue said that Derrick Rose will play tonight. How much will we see of him?
I mean, he's going to be on a minute restriction, Jamel, come off the bench. Interesting note on that, Derrick Rose has played 477 games in his career thus far. 476 he's been in the starting lineup. This perhaps is a signal of a shift in Derrick Rose, the former MVP's career, becoming a reserve, a role player. But we'll get to see him alongside Dwayne Wade. Certainly two skilled players, guys who get into the lane, but two guys who can't necessarily shoot from the outside too well. So it's going to be interesting to see how that lineup looks alongside Jeff Green, Tristan Thompson, and Kyle Korver Ty Lue said that will be his second unit tonight.
All right. Appreciate the knowledge. Thanks, Dave.
This is the destination. Dominance, defense, and miracles. Have you one win from completing the journey?
We try to get to the Super Bowl. These boys are our way.
To get here, you must weather the storm. Continue your reign. Shock the world.
We going to the Super Bowl, and we gonna win that.
To return home, you must win at their home. The journey north has reached its final stage.
And with that, we say good evening to Courtney Cronin. Courtney, how are the Vikings planning to handle what's safe to assume will be a hostile crowd Sunday in Philadelphia?
Hey, Michael, I haven't checked on the sales of German Shepherd dog masks in Philadelphia, but thanks to Lane Johnson and company, you can be sure the Vikings are in for one of their creepier welcomes from fans at Lincoln Financial Field. The reputation of Eagles fans certainly precedes them, but Vikings players say they aim to embrace the hostility among the crowd. Latavius Murray said he expects players will get called some names and maybe even get some beer spilled on them. But he did request light beer, if possible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm expecting it to be crazy. I had a coach tell me, Coach Sumlin, back in the day, you'd rather people be in the stands, whether they're cheering for you or against you. It creates energy. When nobody's in the stands, I mean, there's no energy. So, you know, at least they care.
Beginning in high school and maybe even Pop Warner, I think there was nothing cooler than going on the road and, you know, and beating someone. I love that feeling. And so, I think it's a part of this game, part of sports, and I think when you embrace it, it brings the best out of everybody.
Quick note on the injury front, wide receiver Adam Thielen has been battling a lower back issue, but he returned to practice today in a limited capacity. And Michael, Mike Zimmer was coy about who his number two quarterback will be when asked whether Sam Bradford would get the nod for a second straight week. Reporters got a smile and a we'll see. Mike?
Wouldn't expect anything else. Thank you, Courtney. We appreciate it.
And here to give us the Eagles' perspective, Sal Palantonio, of course, none other, joins us. Hey, Sal, take us behind the scenes there and tell us how head coach Doug Peterson is getting the team ready to face the Vikings.
Well, he's pushing all the right buttons, Jamel. It's really interesting. When he gathered the team early in the week, he told them, I want you to take all of the outside noise and put it aside. I don't want to see anything distracting this team to get ready. And the team has really responded. I've been told by players and coaches that the intensity level for practice the last 2 days has been way, way up. It's about paying attention to details. One player told me, hey, we're not going to win the NFC Championship game with a lot of slogans and dog masks. We got to have execution. And that's something they've heard directly from the head coach. And it's really interesting because this is the second anniversary of Doug Peterson being hired by the Philadelphia Eagles. In 2016, he was one of seven coaches hired. Take a look at this. And look at that list. Three of those coaches are now gone out of the NFL. The other three coaches had losing records in 2017. And here Doug Peterson is in the NFC Championship game. And I don't want to name the newspaper, but there was a certain national newspaper, Jamel, that had Doug Peterson ranked seventh out of those seven hires. In fact, the headline was, "Sorry, Eagles fans." And the body of the story said Peterson was the blurg hire of NFL head coaches. I don't even know if that is a word. I do have ink stains on my finger, so I am totally qualified for calling out one of my brethren in newspapers for ranking him seventh 2 years ago. And here he is in the NFC Championship game.
I mean, it's funny. You can't judge a book by its cover. And, you know, number two, you really just can't trust a lot of stuff that the media say and put out.
You know, you're talking to the media right now. You realize that.
I know I'm talking to the media, but at the same time, you just can't really, you know, predict what, you know, or believe what a lot of people say. But, I mean, we're an NFC championship, so, I mean, we could take that 7-on-7, you know, 7 out of 7 as again, another underdog.
Why were there so many doubters about him early on?
I mean, you know, it was just a first-time head coach. You know how I go. You know, yeah. Nowadays with social media, everybody's a GM.
you know, they're laughing about it a little bit, Jamel, right, in the locker room. But it's real because this team and this coach has been doubted from the beginning, and they use that as motivation, no question about it.
Well, Sal, you're a better person than me. I'm Team Petty. I'm Petty White, Petty Rebel. I would have named the newspaper, but you're a good man, so you wouldn't do that to your former newspaper brethren. Thanks, Sal, so much for joining us.
All right, Kyrie Irving will not play tonight due to shoulder soreness when the Celtics play host to the Sixers, tipping off at the top of the hour, meaning neither of the point guards we expected to start for these teams before the season will take the floor tonight. More on Markelle Fultz in a moment. Jeff Goodman, what more can you tell us about Kyrie Irving sitting tonight against the Sixers?
Yeah, Kyrie Irving will not play tonight. He's got shoulder soreness that has bothered him the last couple games. Had an MRI, came back structurally, everything good. So he just told us a few minutes ago that he hopes to play Sunday against Orlando. Not a big deal, but the Celtics will not have him tonight against the Sixers in that kind of rematch from that London game.
All right, I mentioned Markelle Fultz a second ago. As Jason Tatum thrives, number one overall pick Fultz, he'll miss his 37th straight game tonight as he attempts to relearn how to make shots the way he did at UW. Fultz is healthy enough to practice, having recovered from soreness and scapular muscle imbalance in his right shoulder. His shot, though, another story. So, Jeff, what's going on with Markelle Fultz?
You know, that's the million-dollar question right now, Michael. What is going on with Markelle Fultz? Brett Brown told us earlier today that Markelle went through practice yesterday and looked pretty good. But the caveat to that is he really didn't take any perimeter shots. Played in pick and roll, was able to get to the basket. Joel Embiid told me, well, he doesn't need to shoot to be effective. Well, most guys need to shoot to some degree.
Right.
And Markelle Fultz, why he changed his shot, that's the big key. How much of this is physical? How much of this is mental?
Right.
And we're going to see. They're hoping to have him back soon. Brett Brown said he will not redshirt him like he did with Ben Simmons, like they did with Joel Embiid due to injury. He expects to have him back at some point this year, but who knows how long it'll be and how effective he'll be when he comes back.
Yeah, they drafted him because of that shot that he displayed in college, and even if he's not redshirted, it certainly looks like the makings of a lost season for the rookie.
I'm sure he could probably throw left-handed if he had a problem with his right hand, you know. And throw it just as well, and I mean that. I really think he's one of the most naturally gifted throwers that I personally have ever seen. You know, he could pick a ball up at any day and just throw it.
As far as we know, Tom Brady didn't throw with either hand today. Warmed up wearing gloves, but that was it. DNP with the hand injury suffered on Wednesday. Again, you're talking about a player who hasn't missed a game, let alone a playoff game, due to injury since 2008. Brady's effectiveness, though, calls for some concern. I have zero concerns about the effectiveness of the reporting of one Mike Reese. Mike, what's the level of concern with Brady, and how is he managing this injury?
Well, Michael, I've talked to multiple people close to this situation, and this is how it's been characterized to me. This isn't something to dismiss as insignificant, but they do believe it is something that Brady can manage, and it might affect him in Sunday's AFC Championship game to a degree here. And here's the thing. The Patriots' actions have reinforced this. They have just two quarterbacks on their roster, and if they felt like Brady couldn't play, they probably would have made a move for a third quarterback. But it is significant that Brady was not at practice today. This was a full pads practice, their most important practice of the week. And it reminds me of something that I asked Bill Belichick about a month ago when Brady was in and out of practice. And I said, how significant is that? He said, look, the only way to build team execution is from team practice. Michael, you don't have the quarterback, the most important player on the team, out at practice before your most important game of the season. That's big news for the Patriots.
Jeez, Mike, if I'm a Patriots fan hearing that, you got me worried. You got me worried. The plot thickens. Good stuff, Mike Reese. We appreciate it, man. See, this is how it works. This is what Jimmy Dix was talking about in The Last Boy Scout. According to Westgate, the line between Jacksonville and New England has dropped thanks to this Tom Brady news. The line started with New England as 9-point favorite. That line down to 7.5.
Ooh, the plot thickens. And for more from the other side, we got Jeff Darlington, who is there in Florida with the Jags. Now, look, I hope the Jags know. I'm sure they do know, rather, that the Patriots aren't exactly the Steelers. They're going to give them bulletin board material.
Right.
So what's the Jags' game plan for the Patriots, especially in light of this news with Tom Brady and his hand injury?
Well, Jamel, Reese can handle the serious stuff right now because the Jaguars are keeping it very lighthearted down here. Doug Marrone coming into his press conference holding what was a very dense scouting report, something that he received just before he got there, something that he will study very seriously.
A group of first graders at the Bulls school in Jacksonville might have provided the Jaguars with the final piece to this ever-important puzzle. What will it take to beat the Patriots? One student slash scout says, eat more chicken. Another one wants the team to know they shouldn't be nervous and look your opponent in the eye. And, of course, the big one, sack Tom Brady.
I'm really just trying to focus on, you know, getting our team ready and go because, you know, I've got to get through this. You know, this is, you know, from the Bulls first grade, and this has the answers that maybe I'm looking for, maybe how we can stop, you know, the Patriots.
Jeff Lyman.
Want to beat the Patriots? Here's how. Advice from your number one fans, the Bulls first grade. That's the one thing I will say about this week. It's kind of throwing me off.
Will you find time to go through
this? I find it hard to believe how so many people have an opinion on how to beat the New England Patriots, and no one's really have done that.
We do have a little bit of serious news that we should cover here on injury. Tayshaun Gibson missed his second consecutive practice with a foot injury that he suffered against the Steelers on Sunday. Marrone did say, though, that he is trending in the right direction, important for a secondary that obviously will be critical against this Patriots team, Jamel.
Okay, by chicken, I automatically interpret that as Popeye's spicy, preferably two or three pieces. That's just me. All right, thanks a lot, Jeff. I appreciate that. Speaking of chicken, Houston, Frenchie, shout out. Anyway, they're back in action tonight against the Timberwolves. The Rockets' first game since they tried to take over the Clippers' locker room like Nino did to Carter. The Rockets will be without Trevor Ariza and Gerald Green, who were each suspended for two games for their involvement in the thwarted bum rush. The Rockets spoke about the suspensions earlier today.
It's like everything. We shouldn't have initiated, or we shouldn't have gone in. So the NBA tries to get it right, whether it's, you could argue too severe, not severe. You know, you could argue both sides. Everybody's got viewpoints. The NBA tries to get it right, and you take the punishment, you go on.
You know, it's crazy. Too harsh of a penalty, you know. They let them get away with whatever they wanted. You know, they made it a physical game and let them get away with so many things. Yeah, it's just crazy when you don't see those guys suspended. It's just, you know, it's just crazy. There was no fight, no nothing.
Now, no disrespect to Ariza or Green, but their absence is offset by the return of James Harden, who missed the last seven games with a hamstring injury. When Voltron, a.k.a. the Rockets, are fully activated, the Rockets have been pretty impressive. Houston is 15-0 this season when Harden, Chris Paul, and Clint Capella all play. And you guessed it, they're all playing tonight. Also there tonight, Stefano Fusaro in Houston. How much will James Harden, how much of him will we see tonight?
Well, he's going to be limited to about 25 minutes of game action, and it's actually kind of funny. Coach D'Antoni joked earlier that it might be his own player that attacks him on the sidelines today rather than opponent when James is going to have to come off the floor. He's going to have to pull him off the floor for sure on some of those occasions. Now, look, Harden's coming back from that hamstring injury, which we know can be tricky. That's why they decided to put him on this minutes restriction in this ball game today. He did go through practice yesterday and through shoot-around today, and he feels good to go. Now, D'Antoni added that, you know, he wouldn't be surprised if he's rusty, but he also wouldn't be surprised if he's amazing tonight. He's just happy to have him back in the lineup. Obviously a vital piece for them, an MVP candidate. And obviously it comes at a very important time for the Rockets, as you mentioned, with Trevor Ariza and Gerald Green being suspended for the next two games due to the now infamous Tunnelgate over in L.A.
Oh, Tunnelgate. It's got an official title. I like it. Thanks, Stefano. Appreciate it. All right, the Rockets, again, because it's a stat that definitely bears repeating. This is how good they are when James Harden, Chris Paul, and Clint Capella all suit up, 15-0. Now, this trio has not suited up in a game since December 18th against the Jazz. And by comparison's sake, Houston is 15-12 in all other games.
So Mel Kiper released his first mock draft of the 2018 draft. He has Brown sticking Josh Allen first overall, Saquon Barkley fourth overall. That offense, of course, ranked last in points per game. Two other QBs Mel has gone to the top five, Josh Rosen to the Giants, Sam Darnold to the Broncos. The last time three quarterbacks went in the top five was in 99. And Mel has Washington taking Baker Mayfield 13th overall. Mayfield would join Sam Bradford as the only Oklahoma quarterbacks taken in the first round.
All right, let's take a full look, though, at this top 10. Interesting names there on the board. You got Minka Fitzpatrick going to the Jets, Calvin Ridley, going to Chicago and my team. Yeah, Denzel Ward, Ohio State. I can live with that. And joining us now to delve deeper into this first mock draft 1.0, Mel Kiper. Thanks for joining us. Mel, so let's start with Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. What separates him from everybody else? Because you've been strong on this guy.
Well, bigger, stronger arm, more mobile, and he finished better than the other two. And by finish, that last time we saw him was against Central Michigan, that bowl game. He was lights out. He was coming off a shoulder injury. They had missed two games, both of which they lost, one against San Jose State. But you watch him throw every NFL throw you needed him to make in that game, he did. And I think that's why I think finishing strong, then Darnold struggled against Ohio State when you had, you know, Josh Rosen, 32 days in concussion protocol, not available for their bowl game. Josh out there slinging it around, showing great mobility, ability to throw on the run, and leading his team to a bowl victory and going out on top, and a guy that was a difference maker for a team that without him probably would have had a losing record.
You've got three QBs that you deem worthy of top five selections, given the team's picking there, and Rosen and Darnold in addition to Allen.
Right.
Is there so much separation in your mind between Allen and the other two that the Browns don't want to risk not getting Allen? Because let's say they really want to get Saquon Barkley, take him one and just get whatever quarterback is there at four.
Michael, you probably got that right because you get all this stuff right at the top of the draft. Okay, so I'm not going to doubt what you're saying, but I think
I'm wondering, in my
opinion, you got to get the quarterback you deem the best.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, if they're all three are equal, like remember you had Manning, Roethlisberger, Rivers, we're all close.
Yeah.
Then you maybe could say, okay, I'm okay if I get the third, because guess what? By doing that, you lose the top quarterback, because the top quarterback, you take Barkley one, two, the Giants are taking somebody, a quarterback more than likely, right? Mm-hmm. Then you get to three. Say the Colts won't, but somebody could jump in like Denver or the Jets picking at five and six.
Right.
Then you lose your second highest rated quarterback.
Sure.
So now you're getting the third highest rated quarterback. Is he equal or close enough to one to substantiate doing that or justify doing
that's
that?
That's why I was asking about, because I was wondering if Barkley fit that bill. Like, let's say Barkley's their best player on their board and they don't want somebody to jump up and steal him.
Right.
That's what I was
thinking. A running back that, you know, is he Zeke Elliott? He could be. Is he certainly, you know, as good as Todd Gurley has been?
Right.
Is he as good as Leonard Fournette was? He could be. And if he's that good, but do you risk losing the quarterback you deem the best or the second best? That's the issue. And I think if they felt all three are the same, then fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they'll feel that way after all said and done.
Yeah, because I was going to say, if you have him going four now to Cleveland, it just seems like if that really is the guy that they really want and they consider him the best player, then it seems like taking him first would make a little more
sense. He's a running back, and that's where you can get a Kareem Hunt in the third round and Alvin Kamara in the third round. And I think, and John Dorsey's the GM who drafted Kareem Hunt. He drafted Kareem Hunt with Kansas City before he was, they moved on.
But I know your rule of thumb.
You know what I mean?
It's
got to be. I would if it wasn't the quarterback that you could be losing. And I think that there's going to be some separation because we're early. We're really early in the process here in January. And there's a lot to go with free agency and the pro days and the combine and the All-Star game, Senior Bowl week next week to make definitive statements on where guys are going to rate.
Yeah.
But come April, we may be talking a little bit more about what Michael just said.
Right. We'll ask you about another polarizing quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Right now you have him going 13th to Washington. Highest he could go?
Sixth to the Jets is what I would think. And I think that's after he goes to the Senior Bowl this week and he shows everything from a command standpoint, a CEO standpoint, that he's matured, he's learned from his mistakes, and he can go into the draft and be the guy the New York Jets bring in that can be closer to Russell Wilson than Johnny Manziel. Mm. And I think that's what he's got to prove. Now, people scream at when I mentioned Manziel, but the bottom line is he's had some immaturity issues, and he had the one off-the-field issue. On the field, he's been outstanding, got stung a little bit with the injury in their playoff game. But I think six is the highest. I have him at 13 to the Redskins if they can't work out something with Kirk Cousins.
Certainly would give him star power that you know they covet in Washington.
Yep.
Speaking of star power, Mel Kiper Jr., if you want more of Mel, and who doesn't, right? Coming up at 7 on ESPN2, don't miss a SportsCenter special as Mel will take a deeper dive into his mock draft 1.0. Joining us now, this is the highlight of our week, if not our month, Michael B. Jordan. Here to, I mean, do you need to promote Black Panther at this point? It's already setting records for pre-sales. We got activists coming up with foundations to go on me to send kids to see it.
Which I donated to,
in theaters Friday, February 16th. We going on the 15th. Anyway, I read that in your turn as a villain, you actually studied Heath Ledger's Joker. So what's Michael B. Jordan going to be like as a villain in Black Panther?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, you know, as a fan of just, comic books and graphic novels, like Heath Ledger's performance, you know, as far as in a film's concerned as a villain, was just, you know, my generation's, like, that was the bar. He killed it. So for me, you know, just trying to find that controlled rage, you know, kind of like, you know, the most the villains that are the most fun to watch for me are the ones that you kind of empathize with. You kind of know where they're coming from. You can see their point of view. So I tried to bring a little bit of that groundedness to Killmonger.
Now, Mike, this is already being anticipated as perhaps the biggest film of the year, because I would imagine Infinity Wars might be your only competition, so to speak. But this cast, you, Chadwick, Lupita, I mean,
Forrest Whitaker,
like,
Angela Bassett,
yes. You know what I'm saying? Every black actor of note that has ever done anything is pretty much in this movie. And of course, you have, you know, just this idea that you have this big budget film, Ryan Coogler. What does this mean kind of larger from a cultural standpoint for this big budget film with all of these black actors and actresses and with the careers that you guys have had? What does this mean to you guys personally to see this movie off to this kind of success even before it has even started?
I mean, honestly, just being a part of history, you know, honestly, that if this film, the numbers that, you know, it could do moving forward and what it could mean for other opportunities in the next generation coming up, and, you know, how many other studios are going to try to take a chance at a more diverse, eclectic cast like we have right now. Just being a part of that conversation and that story is truly incredible. And then obviously, you know, with Ryan Coogler, you know, leading us, you know, it's, you know, for me, it's our third project. So for us to kind of do that again, it means the world. I think it's pretty exciting.
In sports, we talk a lot about partnerships between Fruitvale Station, Creed, and soon to be Creed 2, and now Black Panther. How would you describe the synergy between you and Ryan Coogler?
Unspoken, you know, we got to kind of like, you know, our own language, you know, we can kind of look at each other and know what we're thinking. And, you know, it's special. I think I lucked up, you know, pretty early in my career finding a director that, you know, we kind of get, you know, we had that close of a bond. And, we plan on doing projects and movies, you know, for years to come, as long as you guys would have us.
Now, look, I know you're a great actor and you've played athletes before. But we read somewhere that LeBron is the one professional athlete you'd want to portray in a movie. How would you portray LeBron in a movie?
Who said that? Who said that? I love LeBron. That's my guy. That's big bro. I don't even know if I could play LeBron. Like, they gonna put like put some lifts on me or something? Like, I'm barely scraping 6 feet right now.
I think you'd have to lose some hair. Oh, I'm sorry. My bad.
Oh man, shots fired. You hear that, Bronny?
She coming for you, bro. That's my dog.
No, but it's one of those things where LeBron, with any character, I had to spend a lot of time with him, you know, be around him, talk to him, kind of, you know, get personal, you know, figure out, you know, what's his deepest inner dialogue, inner thoughts, and really try to go method with him.
Hey, man, if they let us, we'd talk to you all day, but unfortunately, I got to let you go. Before we do, speak for Jamel. We're so proud of you. Happy to talk to you. Going back to The Wire, huge fans of your work, man. Just keep it going. It's going to be a big year for you. Thank you for spending some time with us, and we'll chop it up again real soon. Michael B. Jordan, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys. You guys, I'm right here. You guys keep doing what you're doing, because I'm proud of you guys, too. Jamel, stay strong. Don't let nothing knock you off your block. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm proud of you.
All right, thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. All right. We got the 2018 All-Star Game starters right now announced from the East. No shock here. You got LeBron James. Also, Giannis, Joel Embiid. Does that mean he gets a date with Rihanna now? Kyrie Irving, DeMar DeRozan. On the West, you got Steph Curry, KD, James Harden, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis. LeBron and Steph will be the captains of the squads because they earn the most fan votes from each conference. And that means they get to pick from a pool of starters and reserves, which will be revealed on January 23rd. Mike Miller.
What's up, Mark?
How you doing?
I'm good. How y'all
Thanks
doing?
Thanks for joining us.
Thank
so
you.
Given that LeBron and Steph, they have to go through the task of picking their teams. It should be televised, by the way.
Yeah, I agree.
Hurt some feelings. We decided that, you know, we should do a little draft.
There we
now,
go.
Mike's a drafting expert. This is a two-time fantasy football champion right here. Okay.
I'm a little nervous.
So we're
now.
Steph, you're LeBron.
Okay. Okay.
And we're going to use this touchscreen.
Oh, Lord.
So let's start off over here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not good at touchscreen.
There you go.
All right, tap it and then tap it again. All right, cool.
All right, so I'm LeBron. Yeah. First of all, if I'm ever a GM in life, I hope my decisions are this easy.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Stay employed a long time.
I get to go first as a visitor?
Go ahead.
Yeah. I will let you.
I'm going to go with this guy right here.
All right.
I think he's had a solid year.
to say the least. All right.
See how easy this is?
See, I want to do something real petty.
Go ahead.
But I know who you want. I know you do. Go ahead.
I got to take my son.
Take your son.
I got to take my son.
You're trusting the process.
I got to take my son.
I like that. I like that. Right? You see, this makes it real fun now because you've.
I know what I gave you. I don't care. I'm still winning.
No, I like it because I'm a little different. I'm trying to win the game.
Yeah.
I'm going to play to what our strengths are. I'm going Anthony Davis.
Okay.
Good pick.
Oh, I'm sorry. You got him as a guard.
That's right. He can play guard.
I wasn't even paying attention. I was so excited to put him in the All-Star game. All right.
You know, I would say we should go.
That's a good one.
All right, that's a good one.
I hope you weren't going to do that.
We got that paint locked up.
See, because I want to take my man Kyrie Irving because I love him to death, but I already know you all are going to take him. Because you got Steph.
Oh, because I'm petty. So, yeah.
You are petty?
Oh, yeah. That would have been my first pick. You're like, oh, LeBron. Oh, there you go.
You're trying to play that game.
LeBron, would you pick Kyrie on your team?
Kyrie's going on my team.
Okay.
Kyrie is going on my team. And you know what? I'm going to take him now. It's fine. I'm cool with that. But he's here. We're going to move him down. There we go. Put KD here.
That's Durant. Okay.
Yeah, that's Durantula.
All right.
I like my team.
I like our team, too. We got some size, though.
That's, there you go. That's late right there.
Yep.
Ooh, I like that.
Still right there.
All right, so we're down to DeRozan and DeMarcus, the two Ds.
Wow.
I'm going to go
DeMar DeRozan.
Okay.
You know, really? I'm going to tell you why. Believe me, Boogie's the best.
Right.
But they only got 23 wins right now, and they're playing together.
Break them up.
So I'm going to break them up.
We will happily take Boogie
Thank
Cousins.
You.
I bet you will.
We're going to win the game and the
crazy. You definitely going to do that. The one thing that's crazy about this is how stacked the West is you only have the last year's MVP on there as a starter.
Mm.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. Wow.
Your MVP.
Right. I didn't even think about that. See, you just blew my mind right there.
He ain't even a starter.
I like it.
And you can't
like
even argue
chances.
It.
I like our chances, don't you think, Mike?
Yeah.
I like them both. That's what I'm saying. This would be easy GM
job. I like
this
format.
Yeah, definitely.
I do.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Mike, for joining us. All right, a lot of fights have been going down in the NBA of late, but Greg Popovich wouldn't really call them fights.
Player versus player incidents. There were a couple over the past couple of days on the King.
Oh, you mean the typical NBA fights where they go, let me at him.
Wait for somebody to hold me back.
I would have kicked his ass. I would have kicked him, but somebody held me back. The NBA fights are the silliest, namby-pambiest things I've ever seen in my life. Except there was that one in the stands a few years ago. That was that argument.
So Aaron Afalo got two games. I get the jokes, but for all the people who long for the days of actual NBA fights, I just hope those same people, when they glorify those days, don't vilify players when they actually get into fights and call them thugs.
Right.
Because that's the very thing they try to get out of the league was actual fights. And now it's like, oh, that's not a real fight. Well, that's not what you want.
Or the NBA is soft or all these other things. But, you know, you kind of have to clean this up a little bit, right?
All right. Who had a good day?
All right. It's a good day for Antoinette Harris, also known as Tony. She moved one step closer to her goal of someday playing in the NFL. On Wednesday, she received a scholarship from Bethany College, a NAIA school in Kansas. She plays free safety for East Los Angeles College in Cali, and she'll be the first to receive a scholarship as a non-kicker, a woman. So congratulations.